What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Option Trading Concepts Live. My name is Nick Batista. I've got my man, Mikey Butler, with me as always. And if you want to come join us, hop over to YouTube, type in Tasty Live, come to our channel, give us a like, and subscribe to our videos because that helps us immensely. But more importantly, just come chat with us live because we'll be taking questions throughout the show. Whatever you got questions on, from strategies, concepts, trade ideas, trade management, whatever, just come hang with us for the next hour of the day, my favorite hour of the day, because I spend it with my buddy, Mikey Butler. How's it going, sir?
It's going great. Everything's great, you know? Market's green. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin's green. Played some golf this weekend, as you might imagine. So did you. It was your inaugural event.
I got the big boy invite.
The maiden nice. Invite.
Yes, yes.
How was it?
It was good. It was good. Cantini.
Yeah.
It was a nice little outing. Perfect day. Mm-hmm. Little chilly in the morning, but it was a good, good time. Got to smack some balls around, you know. It's perfect.
Love to
watch Tom struggle a little bit. That was somewhat enjoyable. Also sad, you know.
Yeah.
Posted a great picture on Twitter if you want to see us.
Yeah.
For our outing. It was great.
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back. I think this was his first round, if I'm not mistaken. So
we'll see.
We shall see.
He's got some finesse around the greens. Yeah. He's got like that, you know, pulls out the 8-iron, you know, 20, 30 yards from the green and kind of just like scoots it up there, you know, like one of those bump and runs. Mm-hmm. He's pretty good on those. You know, he's lost his long game a little bit, but you know. That's how it is.
That's how the cookie crumbles, as they say.
Yes.
But yeah, we're back at it. We got some earnings this week. We got Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, it's actually Wednesday before the market opens. Yeah. So the last day to trade it will be tomorrow. We got Disney tomorrow morning. So last day to trade it today. Can't fade the mouse. And our favorite, Celsius Energy, tomorrow morning before the open.
Yeah, going to have to do something there.
$10 expected move, mm-hmm. almost $11 expected move on a $78 stock.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, we are going to have to look at that one.
Mm-hmm. I've been
doing
pretty inactive today, except I did just close my Meta position. So if you remember, I sold a put spread at Meta, the 450, 440 in May for $2.60 prior to earnings. And then Meta tanked and it has since recovered.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost at, it reached a low of 414. So this spread was 40 points in the money. 5 days later, it's out of the money. So I literally just closed it for a scratch, a literal scratch.
Nice.
Sold it for 260, bought it back for 260.
Beautiful. So,
that's,
find risk spread.
Yeah. Give it some time.
Give it some time.
It's exactly why we say, you know, if you're selling spreads for earnings in the weekly cycle, it is instant pain, instant gain. But if you get a big blowout like Meta did, you have a max loss that you can't really defend. You could re-enter a new position, but having some time on your side can open up the door for a reversal, which happens sometimes, and I got lucky on this one.
Yeah, and that spread, you only had a limited amount more to lose on it. So, you know, it was a good risk-reward moving forward to hold that position.
Mm-hmm.
You got bailed out. It's beautiful.
Love to see it.
For me, I have done a couple things today. So I rolled my MU position. So I had this at the money straddle, or was at the money. You have the stock up $4 or $5 today. I rolled that out to June. So I've got the, I close out the long options too, but I've got the 110, 115 strangle. So a little bit in the money given the move today. And then in BITO, I had an in the money short put spread. So I was short the 28 put. Sorry, this is Micron, BITO. I was short the 28-20 short put spread as like kind of a cover call synthetic stock position, just buying the wing at the 20 strike just to cap the amount of buying power because it's nearly cash secured. had a nice little move in Bitcoin, as Mikey was saying earlier this session. Sold the call spread against it, 28.36. I sold it $1. So I've got this iron fly on for $3.81. It's currently marked at $4.54 after all my rolls and stuff. So I'm out about $70, $73 on that. No big deal. Going to lean a little bit long there. As Mikey was saying, E-mini S&P 500 futures up a little bit this morning, up 28, 51.83. We've had a very, very tight range since the open. We opened here at 51.66. So we've had about a 15 to 20 point intraday range here. It's been a relatively tight range since the open. NASDAQ up 96. You got the Dow basically unchanged. It's up 23. And the Russell bucking the trend, or at least the strongest of the group, up a little over 1.25%, up 25 points. You've got oil futures 78.75, up 62 cents. Volatility futures at lows, 14.33, down 22 ticks. Bonds up a tick. You got gold up $26. Silver up almost 95 cents. And then, as Mikey said, Bitcoin taking a little bit of a rally. Futures at 64,000, spot at 63.5.
Yeah, nice to see a little rally in that space after a mini hemorrhage. But yeah, strong market recently, just immediately back to 5,200 almost.
Yeah, ball getting smashed
indeed. Yeah, that SPX butterfly we put on, taking some heat early, but yes, it is a nice hedge against the rest of the portfolio. Like I just closed that Netflix bullish position. I have an AMD working order to close that diagonal spread I got into last week. The 150, 170 long July, short June.
That's when an AMD is.
Yeah, it's
couple bucks away from my sweet spot here.
Yeah.
The 160 strike, all these rolls.
Love to see.
That'll be a fun anatomy of a trade if we can get that one back to even.
Yeah. So maybe we can get lucky with the timing, closing some bullish trades, maybe get a little sell-off in the next couple of days. That SPX hedge should work out. Yeah, we're looking okay here.
Yeah.
DraftKings kind of staying range bound.
Yes.
Had a non-move from earnings, which is huge.
Yes. Another good one for us. A couple hundred bucks.
Indeed.
Profit.
Indeed. But yeah, we've got some content for you this week. We're doing a little mini-series, I would say.
Yeah, sorts.
Mini-series of sorts. Strategy selection, credit targets. We could talk about debit analysis, things like that. Basically, everything that relates to starting a strategy.
Yeah.
Let's call it.
And then Friday, we're going to talk about hedges. Got an interesting email about hedging black swan type events. And we've talked about it before. There's, you know, you can't sustainably do that over a long period of time. If it was that cheap and easy, everybody would do it. The problem with hedging is always just the drag it has on your portfolio. You know, you can't be hedging at all times because you'll just be out of the market. And so, you know, we'll talk about some ways that we look to get some delta exposure and capital efficient ways to get some, you know, sort of hedges on the SPX butterfly. One of our ways that we do that, put diagonal spreads, stuff like that. But we'll talk about kind of hedging and just the issues with it as well. So strategies, targets for credits and debits and, you know, costs and all that good stuff. And then hedges toward the end of the week.
Love to see it.
Yes.
But yeah, if you want to join us on the YouTube channel, we're streaming live there. I see the regulars. I see some new people. Just head over to the Tasty Live YouTube channel and pop in your trade ideas, questions along the right-hand side chat of the live video that you'll see streaming front and center. But yeah, we've got some earnings that we can take a look at that are announcing tomorrow morning, namely Disney and CELH, and then Lyft, actually, too. Lyft is before Uber.
Ooh.
So Lyft is tomorrow after the close. Uber is Wednesday before the market opens. So we'll get some early sector intel, I would assume, with Lyft. But yeah, still some earnings to be reported. That is for sure. So yeah, pop in there, put in your trade ideas, questions. We'll get to them in about 15 minutes here.
Yeah, cool. Let's do it.
So yeah, let's pull up these slides here. I also put in a link to the newsletters page for the cherry picks tomorrow morning. So if you want to get your cherry picks for free,
get best, your cherry
best, on. Best newsletter on the internet.
Number one.
Yeah.
Last one.
Love it. Cool. Strategy selection. Let's kick it off.
Yeah, let's do it. So when we're looking at trade ideas and building a assumption, you know, there's really just four outcomes, right, that we talk about. And it's the inside move, which can be inside up, inside down, or the outside move when you say outside the expected move or outside standard deviation. It could go outside up, outside down. Those are the four outcomes, right? I mean, there's flat and then there's up or down in a big way. And so those are kind of the choices that we make on entry, right? If we're going to place a somewhat directional trade, we kind of place it based on one of these four assumptions when we're picking our strategy. For short premium strategies, you're mostly playing for that inside sort of range. If you're selling puts, you know, you have the benefit of time and volatility. You can withstand a little bit of a down move. Yes, you are directionally bullish because you have some delta exposure, but you're not playing for like the tail events in either direction. When you're trading long premiums, say a diagonal spread or a crab trade, or if you're buying puts, buying calls, debit spreads, you're playing for that big move. You're not looking for the stock to move in your direction a small amount. You're looking for a little bit greater move than that. So when we're just generally starting our strategy selection process, these are the four outcomes that we kind of think about and that we, you know, use to narrow down and focus on which strategies start to fit that directional assumption.
Yeah, and really, I think I can't emphasize that middle part enough. The short premium strategies, you're betting against the movement of a stock price. That's really what enables you to make money if the market stays sideways, moves for your direction a little bit, or even against your direction a little bit. You just can't have it go beyond your strike at expiration. Technically speaking, you can a little bit.
A little buffer.
A little buffer, yeah, with the credit received. But that's the nice thing about short premium strategies. That's why it's a high probability trade, because even with a short put that's bullish, you can still have a downside move to a little bit, a small degree, and still make money on that trade.
Yeah.
At expiration.
Yes, and those trades, and we've talked about this before, they're not, you know, just because you're selling puts, it's not a super, it's not binary bullish trades. Those are trades where you can have some price action, you can have changes in volatility and time, all those things benefit you. So again, to Mike's point, it's, you're playing against the big move. You're playing for sideways, slightly up, slightly down. You know, you have a lot of those things in your favor.
Indeed.
Jump into slide two here. So we talk about strategy selection and just kind of the things that go through our mind here. Obviously, the first thing is capital allocation. How much can I risk? How much am I willing to risk? Those are the two questions you'd be asking. This will point you in the direction of whether you have to do a defined risk trade or an undefined risk trade. Of course, you know, there are differences in stock prices and volatilities that will help you be a little bit more flexible. Like you can be naked in a position that is a stock under $50 or $70. Defined risk in an NVIDIA or something like that, that's a higher price stock. You know, those are kind of the capital limitations that we all have to deal with. We all have to, be comfortable with the risk as well. Of course, account type comes into play here. If you're in a cash or an IRA account, synthetic strangles are certainly on the table and are way more capital efficient than being naked. Even though you can be naked on those positions, there's typically a point at which it makes sense to just buy a cheap wing, turn that into a spread of sorts, and just release that capital. So, you know, defining the risk in those sort of account types, it's a very easy decision to make for us. When we get to the bullish, bearish, neutral sort of position and how we determine that, you know, that kind of comes down to your own directional assumption. If you want to be more directional, you want to have a heavier delta, you know, those one-sided trades are kind of going to be in your wheelhouse here. You're going to look for dynamic delta positions. Typically, these more directional trades are going to be long premium. You know, when you think about a diagonal spread, a crab trade, at the money long spreads, those are all sort of heavier delta positions. They're more directional. You need more of a move in your favor. You're kind of playing for that bigger move with those sort of trades. If you're trying to be less directional, maybe more conservative in use of that word, you'll have more exposure to time, more exposure to volatility, you know, your naked calls or puts if you want to be somewhat directional but have exposure to time and volatility, calendar spreads, broken wing butterflies, ratio, you know, iron condor, short spreads. Those are trades that I consider less directional positions relative to the diagonal spreads or the crab trades where, you know, you do need some sort of directional move in your favor. Next, we get down to the implied volatility question. Obviously, when you look at something that's got high volatility, you want to lean or at least have some sort of short premium component to it. We're always capping the low probability events in some fashion, whether it be a diagonal spread or a crab trade. You're selling premium against the long premium that you're buying, and you're giving up that tail event in exchange for having a higher probability trade, having some exposure to volatility, having some exposure to time decay. When you're looking at like low implied volatility situations, you have to be directional, right? You're not getting paid to fade the non-movement. You're not getting paid to sell puts. You're not getting paid to sell calls. You have to look at, you know, long at the money spread, zebra type trades. Those are the trades that kind of play into low volatility situations. Then the question of time, right? So we've thought about how much capital we can put at risk. We've talked about our somewhat directional exposure. We've talked about implied volatility, the last component being time. When do I think this move is going to happen or non-move is going to happen? If you're playing for quick movements, you know, you're obviously going to go with lower duration trade, thinking about, or these apply to, you know, SPX calendar spreads or iron condors in zero DT, or just taking directional shots in zero DT, talking about binary events like earnings. You want to have exposure to that. Those are kind of the quick type trades that we would consider. Standard entry, obviously, in that 30 to 60 day time frame, a lot of our strategies incorporate a little bit of both of these situations, right? When you're talking about diagonal spreads, crab trades, you have that calendarized aspect. So you're kind of playing for the big move in the short term, but you've also got some time to be right because you have that volatility exposure and that time exposure. And that's our, you know, thought process through strategy selection.
Yeah, that is literally it.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
that's the key.
Exactly.
These are the things that we think about on entry. And then whatever happens in the market is what we have to deal with.
You deal with it later.
Yes.
Yeah, I got an email this morning looking at technical analysis, and the question was like, how do I look at this chart and know that it's going to go up or down? And my first, obviously, reaction was, you don't.
Yes.
You never will. It's just a matter of using something, whether it be fundamental analysis, technical analysis, implied volatility being high or low, IV rank being high or low. You're using something or a blend of things to help you create a directional assumption or a non-directional assumption that makes you comfortable with that risk.
Yes.
That's really all it is you're using something that makes you more comfortable to dive into a position and take that risk. At the end of the day, regardless of what your assumption is, you can be wrong. You will be wrong at some point. So you need to account for that as well. And that's why we talk about trading small and spreading risk through time and generating occurrences so we can get to expected probabilities. Because if you flip a coin 5 times, you could get heads every single time. If you flip it 1,000 times, it's not going to happen. So that's kind of why we think about all these things at once, as opposed to putting all our eggs in one basket and leaning in aggressively into a position. But I think for capital allocation specifically and implied volatility, capital allocation, generally speaking, if we're dealing with a high implied volatility environment like an earnings trade, like Celsius or Uber or whatever, we're usually going to keep that risk defined, and we're going to keep it a little bit smaller than a normal position. Position meaning no binary events on the horizon. We can take a little bit more risk if we want to because we'll have time to manipulate that. We shouldn't expect to see a 30% rally in a product or a drop in a product overnight when there's nothing planned. It can still happen, but I'm willing to take more risk in that environment, especially with something like an ETF. You might see me take a bigger position in an ETF than an equity. And that's just because there's less perceived movement with an ETF that doesn't have earnings, and they don't have a board, and they don't have CEOs that can say whatever they want. You know, it's a whole thing. But with implied volatility, kind of on the same token, like we'll place regular trades that are strangles with no binary events on the horizon. We'll do it more often in ETFs maybe than equities, just because a lot of times equities are expensive, the ones we want to trade. We can find lower priced ETFs that have less implied volatility. But at the end of the day, when it comes to implied volatility, if we're selling premium, we need to be paid for taking that risk. And in a lot of cases, when implied volatility is at 20% or 30%, it's just not going to happen. So regardless of Ivy Rank, I don't care what Ivy Rank is, if Ivy is 20%, doesn't matter, because I'm not going to sell premium in a 20% environment, even if Ivy Rank's 100. So that's one thing that, you know, we always need to take into account is looking at both things when it comes to implied volatility, Ivy Rank and the actual implied volatility number. But yeah, all of these things together kind of help you
narrow down. Once you use these as a checklist, you'll find what one or two trades are gonna fit your, you know, overall assumption.
Mm-hmm. That's my mini rant.
Getting on to the third slide. So this is how you can narrow it down a little bit further, right? So we're talking about market awareness, you know, selling into strength, buying into weakness. These are things that we like to do as traders. You know, you want to sell things as they go higher. You want to buy things as they go lower. That's, you know, the traditional way of trading in markets, right? You know, buy when things get cheap, you sell when things get expensive. It's a way to kind of narrow your selection into a contrarian type trade. Of course, things can go lower, things can go higher. These are just ways to get comfortable with a position. You know, we've used the phrase before of like, you know, it's a better trade today, right? If you're trying to get short something and the stock is higher today than it was on a Friday, it's a better trade today because the stock is higher. You're getting short at higher prices. That's a good thing. We don't know that that's going to happen, but as traders and as contrarian traders, we want to sort of do that. And you can do that dynamically with, you know, being on both sides of the market, whether it be positions that you have long delta, positions you have short delta. If you're in something like SPY or SPX and you're selling iron condors, you get short delta as the market goes up, long delta as the market goes down, naturally becoming contrarian in that way. You could also look at skew. You know, we've talked about skew not necessarily meaning that a stock is going to move in that direction, but it means that you can get paid more to take risk on that side. That's where the market perceives the velocity of risk to be. Maybe that helps you narrow down your strategy from, you know, instead of selling the put, maybe you do the call diagonal spread, something like that. When you look at skew and you say, you know what, I'm getting paid a lot to sell this far out of the money premium, I'm going to do a diagonal spread instead of selling the naked put on the non-skewed side. Those are ways that you can further narrow down your strategy selection. You can look at the specific sector or the market as a whole, right? So where is the VIX at? That's the first thing I look at. Volatility right now is very, very low. You have volatility futures at 1430, the VIX itself at 1378. Maybe instead of selling premium in SPY or SPX, you take a little bit more directionality to it. You do a diagonal spread, crab trade, calendar spread, something that has a long vol component, the wide butterflies, stuff like that. You can look at the vol distribution and the underlying itself. Binary events kind of play into this. Maybe you're bullish on something, but it's got earnings coming up, so you're going to sell some short-term premium against it. Perfect. That fits your assumption. You can also get into like just your overall feel of the market. Maybe it's been a really nice move higher. You think maybe we get a short-term move lower, and you play a little bit of a downside move with a put diagonal or something like that in SPY. All these things kind of help you, narrow down your strategy selection. And then the last one, how does this play into my portfolio as a whole? So are you diversifying strategy? Are you diversifying assumption? Your directional exposure in your portfolio as a whole? That'll help you decide, hey, you know what? Instead of being super directional with a call diagonal spread in SPX, I'm going to sell an out-of-the-money put because I'm already long, in my portfolio. That's a way to be a little bit less directional and, still put your position on. So, again, selling into weakness, buying into strength, hedge trades, all those things come into play here.
Indeed. And, again, skew doesn't tell you where the market's going to go, but it does tell you where you can reduce your cost basis the most at the end of the day. So I wholeheartedly agree with Nick's statement. You can easily flip your strategy just like that when you see that there's a skew that may benefit you more from a cost basis reduction standpoint to start. Both bullish positions, a short put and a long call diagonal spread, but one you might have a more efficient setup from a cost basis reduction and from a max profit standpoint, and you might go with that one instead. Love it.
Fantastic.
Glorious stuff. I'm popping over to the YouTube chat now. H. Montero with a very topical question. Do you lean directional, taking the opposite side on a daily up move with low expected move? And thoughts on tranching up in an underlying to flatten out delta? So yeah, that's kind of what we did with the SPX downside butterfly, right? We had a bunch of bullish positions. The bullish positions have worked the last couple of days. The last couple of the trading days. So we figured, why not add a little short-term downside hedge to that portfolio?
And you've had a nice rally.
Yeah.
I mean, of course it can continue. We did this last week. Mm-hmm. So we weren't playing for this another 30 points to the upside. But, that's kind of the thought process, right? Mm-hmm. You've had a nice move. Maybe you take a little bit of downside shot.
Yeah, and usually we'll deploy something like that when we see a big move in one direction.
So and vol has been smashed.
Yeah.
Right? So we did a long vol trade. Mm-hmm. Long vol, short delta. You have the market rallying 5%, volatility down to yearly lows. Both those things, are in your favor in terms of selling into higher prices and also buying volatility into lower prices.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just another way to make moves in the market after you see something happen.
Yes.
All right, Colin, looking at assignment risk of short puts. I know that your assignment risk of short calls has to do with the short call's extrinsic value not being as high as the dividend itself. What about puts, though? What if I wanted to sell an in-the-money put on SPY or Qs, how many deltas can I go before I have to worry about early assignment? So it's not really about delta necessarily. I mean, you would want to avoid like 90 plus delta, but it still comes down to extrinsic value. So the more extrinsic value you have in an in-the-money option, the less likely you are to be assigned. Because that counterparty, if they exercise that option, they're vaporizing that extrinsic value. So if there's $200 of extrinsic value and you get assigned, you've literally just taken your short put that's in the money with extrinsic value of $200, fast forwarded to expiration because you would have shares, but that $200 would be in your pocket because you already sold it. So in theory, you could close the shares and resell the option and get another $200 of extrinsic value in your balance, we'll say.
Yeah.
So that's why it's rare, but that's how we would answer your question, is just look at the extrinsic value. If the extrinsic value is more than 20 cents, 30 cents, there's no dividend coming up, then it's not likely to be assigned. Yeah.
It just doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything about the position unless it's at expiration. That's when things change. But it's really only it's if an option gets assigned, it is stock. Whether it's an option position or stock, it's the same exact thing. Delta, you know, exposure to volatility, everything. It's all the same. So there's no change to your position.
So if you're opening a position in SPY or the Qs, I would say if you're like in the 45-day range.
Even if you're in the 11-day range.
Yeah.
Like look at the 430 puts. This is 15 points in the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it still has 30, 40 cents of extrinsic value.
Yeah. So if you're trying to avoid it, anything over a dollar, I would say, is going to be fine. What about a DIA diagonal? Sell to open to. This is Disney.
Oh,
so maybe two separate thoughts. What about a DIA diagonal? To the upside or downside?
But you can't fade the mouse, does it?
Yeah.
Do we have the strikes there? I was going to say, just generally speaking, the diamonds, DIA, are my least favorite of the four major ETFs to trade. They are by far the least liquid in terms of the ETFs themselves. But it is certainly tradable. It's just not as liquid as the rest of the bunch, as IWM, QQQ, SPY. Mm-hmm. All right, Disney, what are we doing? And then we got to do Celsius.
Yeah, we got to do Celsius.
I got an idea on Celsius.
Oh, you do? Yeah. So, Bob, looking at a Disney diagonal, I assume. This is kind of a ratio diagonal. So if you're buying the 115 in August and then selling two of the 120s in May monthly, you're looking at a $3 debit.
120s, you said?
The 120s, yeah. Trying to catch two earning cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have an extra naked there, so.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, extra naked short call, so you have upside risk, but you have a decent upside risk graph here. You're just looking for an inside up move, I would say, for this earnings cycle. And then if you're trying to hold on to that August 115, you can reassess after earnings. But at the very least, you're reducing your cost basis by over 50%. So you're buying that 110 call for $8. Your total debit's 350, which means those two short calls are accounting for over half that value.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind it.
Your short delta, because this trade, this is a dynamic delta position, of course, because you have exposure to volatility and a short duration on those short on the short options. But when you set this trade up, you'll have short delta, but that short delta is going to come off the table very, very quickly, given that it expires in 11 days. So it is a dynamic delta position where if you have a non-movement tomorrow, is it tomorrow morning there?
Yep.
If you have a non-movement tomorrow morning and a dollar or more comes out of these short options, you're going to go from short delta to, you know, 10 or 15 long delta because you're at the money call, hold its value.
Yeah. 650.
What are you thinking? What are you?
I just went in. I just did a 115, 120 traditional call diagonal.
June, July, which?
July.
Ooh.
So looking at
120, 125.
115, 120. Okay. So a little inside.
Use the weekly too.
Use the weekly. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, went a little inside the expected move here. It's up $2 already now. Well, it means nothing, but
that's a change in the mark.
Yeah. So yeah, I got filled at 454 with $180 in extrinsic value to come out of the cycle this week. So looking for an inside out move here, but going to July instead of June. June has a slightly higher implied volatility, and the expected move is just a little bit less than the July cycle, and the July cycle has twice the amount of time almost. So you can see, like, the 115 in June is trading for 570. The 115 in July is trading for 640. So paying 70 cents more to get twice the amount of time, I'll do that all day. Going to August is more expensive relative to time. So 30 days more, but you're paying almost $2 more. So that's kind of where I cut it off. But if you're trying to get two earning cycles in there, no, don't mind it.
Yeah. All right, I'm going into Celsius. I was looking at doing July, the 80 strike, and then going into the weekly, sort of what this Disney trade was looking like, but using about $1,000 less buying power, selling two of the 90s against it.
I like it. There's so much premium. You got it.
So much. That's what I want to do too. If I was a big boy account like Tom's, I would do like three of them. One by three.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it's quite. You're selling almost
$3.50 expiring at the end of the week.
Yeah.
$12 out of the money. 520 debit.
CELH. Yeah, this is one of the biggest earnings expected moves we've seen this earnings season. Almost $11 on a $78 stock. That's huge.
All right.
That is huge.
523.
And obviously we're playing this to the upside because Celsius is the future.
I don't know about that.
They're popping up everywhere now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty of premium here. Crazy. Yeah, I'm just gonna do the same structure here. What are you gonna do? I'm gonna do the, let's see. I'm gonna do the 75-85 call diagonal for $8. Long July, short the 4-day.
Okay.
Inside up.
Yeah, so this one will be a little bit, it's delta-wise, it's basically the same, but you have a little bit more of a buffer because you're selling, I guess you're about the same amount of premium. You're using less capital, same sort of trade.
Same sort of trade, yeah.
Yeah.
On Celsius 75-85 long July short the weekly for 825. In on Disney long July short the weekly 115-120 for 454.
Up only. Mikey Butler is back.
Yeah, if market strong, I go bullish. Vol went from 21 to 13.
Did you watch the Brady roast?
Not yet. I'm gonna watch it tonight probably. After watching just amazing basketball. Jalen Brunson's the truth. Anthony Edwards is the truth. It's just so wild to see. Especially Anthony Edwards. He's just the guy. He's got that dog in him. Like the meme coin.
Yeah, dog in me.
This is the world we live in, people. Stock Messiah. Trade idea. Buy the Disney 115 call in June. Sell two of the made 125s against it if you hate money. So you're playing it big to the upside, I assume.
The weekly or in the 125s?
The 125s.
Yeah. Similar to what I did in Celsius, it just uses, I guess this is a little bit less capital. I could do this.
I like it. I dig it.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, you only have $5 wide strikes.
Disney. Are you pondering?
Mm-hmm.
Don't think. Just click bullish.
I kind of want to move the...
Thomas just wrote a Disney earnings preview. I'll write
talked about not putting $2,000 into this position, but now I'm like talking myself into it. 120, 123. I can move this to the 124. I just want to get a dollar.
Yeah.
Something we'll talk about tomorrow in terms of credit targets.
Yeah.
I like to get a dollar if I'm selling something.
Yeah. Makes sense. Because you got to get paid to either cap profit potential on a debit spread or take risk in the credit trade.
The difference between a dollar and 80 cents is probably, you know, not that big of a deal here, but
yeah.
All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow the stock Messiah and do the 120, 125. I moved out to July.
Here you go.
So there. $1,700. 252. There we go.
There we go. Groove moves. Meant to ask for what short strike and a broken wing butterfly we should be shooting for, looking for Delta 2. So broken wing butterflies, usually we are either placing the short strike near the expected move or maybe the long strike near the expected move if we're really getting like further out of the money. But generally, I would say more often than not, we're placing the short strike at the expected move for whatever cycle we're doing.
20 and then we're delta, 20 to 30 deltas.
Yeah, and then we're adjusting the rest of the trade based on our risk tolerance. So our SPX trade.
Those are a little different.
Yeah, but the long option before the 30-point move, the long option was
15.
About halfway in the money, or halfway between the market price and the expected move. And the short options were wide, but they were around a 16 delta. So the long option is going to be within the expected move, and the short options are either going to be at or a little bit outside of the expected move generally.
Same for any short premium trade. Selling iron condors or strangles. Mm-hmm. Somewhere around a 15 to 30 delta is where we're short premium.
CSX, buy the June 30, sell the May 20, the May 35 call.
CSX.
June 30, May 24th, 35 call. So the 35 call is worthless. So I would just get rid of it. There's just not much premium to sell here in this product. 20% IV stock. So this is an example of like, in your mind, you want to be selling premium against something to reduce cost basis, et cetera, et cetera. You're probably looking at diagonal spreads left and right, kind of like we are. But in this case, not much premium to sell. Yeah. So I might just go with the long option or convert it to a zebra and just let it go. Because like you're taking a risk in terms of you're capping your upside profit potential for 10 cents.
Agreed. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You look at this as a leveraged long stock position.
Yeah.
Buying an in-the-money call. Basically zero extrinsic value.
And that's it. I am scanning. Are black swan events likely when the VIX is low? Black swan event is...
I don't know how we...
Well, if you define a black swan event, it is a event that nobody's expecting, and it creates a very volatile market reaction. So generally to the downside. So... The VIX could be at 10, and then it could go to 15 and 20, and then 30 and 40 and 50 and 60. But I would say, looking back, you only know that there was a black swan event
after the fact,
and like volatility doesn't go from 20 to 13; it goes from 13 to 20 to 40 to 60, and then it sustains at 20 to 30 for a long period of time, and then the market drops 40%. So like.
The key being that you don't get paid to take the black swan risk mm-hmm. when volatility is low.
Yeah.
When volatility is high or higher than where we're sitting right now, you get paid to, you know, take on that potential risk. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
Should have sold it, says Natty Gas is on a rampage. Hopefully you didn't sell it. Wow, classic. So it feels so good to not be trading this.
So done with that.
Yeah. Look at that. It's gone to 1.9 and just bounce. 1.9 to 2.2 in 3 days. Big move. Big move. If that continues, I wonder if that's like a fund blowout. How many times are funds going to be blown out shorting Natty Gas?
They call it the Widowmaker.
That is true. That is true. Do you use GTCs for futures for overnight scalps?
No, not usually. We don't really like take those.
Yeah.
We don't really trade.
Overnight?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really like the idea of using GTCs to exit. I kind of like the idea of using...
to take a profit, yeah.
Yeah, to take profit or to like enter a position. So like if I'm looking at micro crude and I want to get in, let's say I want to get long, if it drops below 77, I might put an order in to just rest there if that happens. Just as an example. But yeah, GTCs with illiquid markets overnight, I think you're going to get hit pretty frequently there.
Yeah.
Any news for crude? Any trades in here? Do you have anything?
I was actually just looking at it. So looking at volatility, OVX, you have certainly had a little bit of a pop in volatility here in crude. So I was thinking of doing an iron condor in crude itself rather than get super directional. What do you think of that, Mikey?
I like it.
What's our, because it's kind of come back down, got the low, you know, 72-ish, high 86-ish. Maybe we could do something around that.
Mm-hmm. It's had a nice sell-off from the mid-80s, yeah.
Something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Short the 73, 71 and a half put spread, the 85, 86 and a half call spread. 43 cents, which is $430. Trying to get $100 out of this.
I dig it. How about Datadog? Do you dig the Datadog? Earnings tomorrow morning before the market opens. 13-point expected move, $125 stock.
All right, got filled at 41 cents.
There you go, $410.
D-Dog, okay, what do you want to do?
13-point expected move, over 10%. This is a big expected move relative to June and July. Big. Call diagonal for earnings, long July, 125, short the May weekly, 149. Yep.
I would move the, I'd go to like the 140.
Yep.
Because you have no, you don't, I mean, sure, if the stock were to open at 145, you'll miss out on a little bit, but you know, the 148 for, what was the 147? I don't know.
149 for 70 cents.
Cheap. I'd rather sell the $2 and give up, you know, the couple dollars to the upside if the stock explodes higher, because you'll be up $1,000 on the trade anyway. You know, you'll double up on a move to 150. Yeah. Rather sell the $2 and have that, you know, hedge me if I'm not super correct.
Yeah. And if it's inside up, you're still going to get paid on that short call.
Yes.
At 140.
Yeah.
So you actually might make more. Like if there's a move to 130 or 132 or 133, you would probably make more on the 140 than the 149. For 149 sure. Would go to zero, but that 140 is going to lose more than 50% if there's an inside up move.
Yeah.
So you could actually, you're basically just fading the huge move to the upside.
Yes, you give up the 150 print.
Yeah, which is usually what we don't play for that to happen. But yeah, I mean, either way, nothing wrong with these strikes. Just if you want to be less aggressive to the upside, we would go to the expected move. That's usually where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Not for you, this one? Or I guess you did both bullish trades too. Because I'm like,
yeah.
I just got too too long earnings
plays. My gills are filled with bullish trades.
I like it. I like the setup. Super high implied volatility. You know, you got a lot of room to be wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Is how I would look at this.
Yeah,
we could even look at this into tomorrow. So right now, obviously, it's like 50-50 risk profile into the end of the week. You know, you got $4 or $5 to the downside where you probably don't lose anything, or maybe a small amount to the upside. Again, you know, it's a very high potential return.
Any trades on Palantir, PLTR?
I have one that's working now. This call diagonal spread. I think it has earnings after the close today.
Yep.
It's a weird Monday after the close.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm long June the 24 call, the May 26 against it. I did this at like $1-ish. I did this a while ago. $1.11. And I did this on the 4th, April 4th. So I got some long delta. Neutral slash long.
Love it. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's definitely high implied volatility. It's another one that's over 10% of the stock price for the week, which is a big in terms of expected move. And then looking at June, July, still going to go to July instead of June. 74 days, 62% IV versus 71 in the June cycle. So you can go to July for basically the same price as June in a lot of these stocks if you're buying an option there. Daryl, on an upcoming episode, can you guys explain negative and positive cost basis regarding futures? Also to convert yields and bonds from fractions to decimals.
Negative versus positive cost basis.
Maybe you're referring to like being short versus long. If you can give us more info, we can either point you to something that exists already, or we can cover it. But
bond
yields
pricing.
And bonds.
Yeah, the yields are easy enough.
Yeah,
the bond pricing is what 64ths mm-hmm. for the options, 32nds for the futures outright.
Yeah. But that's why the Tasty Trade platform is so nice, because we know the concept of the strategies we're doing. The options on futures are using the Black-Scholes model. It's all the same stuff. So when I look at 6J, I just see a ton of numbers that mean nothing to me until I throw on a strategy and I look at the max profit and max loss.
Yeah.
And that's where everything's equalized. So if you want to do like in-depth analysis to convert things, you totally can. You just have to learn the ins and outs of that product, which I would rather not do.
These aren't the core part of our portfolio.
Right.
But
we can still trade them, because when I sell a put spread in 6J, I see, okay, if I sell the 6.45 and I buy the 6.4 for the July 5th cycle, I can see the max profit is $125, max loss is $500. So it is converted to dollars and cents for us.
The first thing on the slides that we just presented, mm-hmm. capital allocation and risk tolerance. You're okay putting a couple hundred dollars on a one-off trade.
Correct. Curious about doing a Batman in SPX.
Okay.
But my setup doesn't seem correct because my buying power is lowered. It seems like it's still very high buying power. Looking at the 5180 call, two of the 5190 calls that are short, and then 5135 long put. And the long 5135 short of 5120 twice. I mean, your buying power is going to be naked risk here, because you have a strangle. You have an extra strangle on top of these vertical spreads.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So it's going to be very high. Anytime you're naked here, you SPX 99% of the time, you probably can do this more capital efficient just by buying some wings. wings.
Yeah. So you can go further out and buy some wings and make it a defined risk trade. And make it easier.
Oh, I'm in the May monthly. It doesn't matter what expiration you're in. It's going to be a capital intensive trade for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tight range too. So if you're doing that on like a daily, you probably have to hold to the end of the day.
I think that's it.
Oh yeah.
We out of time. Cool. Time flies when you're having fun. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions, you can always find us on Twitter. I'm a trader, Mikey B. Nick's a trader, Nikki Bat. Again, we've got those earnings trades. We placed a few of them. We'll post them to the follow page.
Mm-hmm.
Some are in the morning before the market opens, so just be aware of that. The last day to trade those is the prior day before the close at 3 o'clock. So if you're trying to trade some stuff for the morning, get those trades in the previous day. But yeah, we'll be back same time, same place, 11 a.m. Central tomorrow. We'll see you then. Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc., and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.